Well, for the time that's left to us today, we want to look at these verses that we've read in Matthew chapter 5, verses 33 to 37. And the title I want to give to our meditation is quite simply, Tell the Truth. Because this is what Jesus is actually saying in essence here. He is exhorting his would-be disciples and followers that they are under obligation at all times to tell the truth. We have here a formula that Jesus has been using. Again, you have heard that it hath been said. And then he goes on to say, but I say unto you. Now, this is the fourth time he uses it in the Sermon on the Mount. And last week, we noticed what the scribes and the Pharisees said about divorce. And the Lord says, but I say unto you. And he gives his teaching concerning divorce on that occasion. And here we have this formula being introduced for the fourth time in the Sermon on the Mount. Again, you have heard that it hath been said of them of old time, Thou shalt not forswear thyself, but shalt perform unto the Lord thine oaths. And then he goes on to give his explanation of what the law of God truly does say, not the interpretation of the scribes and the Pharisees. Now, when he says here in verse 33, Thou shalt not forswear thyself, but shall perform unto the Lord thine oaths. That is a summary of the teaching of the scribes and the Pharisees based on the Word of God. And I have one or two quotations from the Old Testament to back that up, because what Jesus is saying here is we cannot go to one particular text in the Old Testament. Rather, it's a summary of the Old Testament teaching regarding oaths. For instance, in Leviticus chapter 19 at verse 12, And ye shall not swear by my name falsely, neither shalt thou profane the name of thy God. I am the Lord. In Numbers chapter 30 and verse 2, it says, If a man vow a vow unto the Lord, or swear an oath to bind his soul with a bond, he shall not break his word. He shall do according to all that proceedeth out of his mouth. And the final quotation I want to cite at this time is from Deuteronomy chapter 23 and verse 21. When thou shalt vow a vow unto the Lord thy God, thou shalt not slack to pay it, for the Lord thy God will surely require it of thee, and it would be a sin in thee. So when Jesus says here, Thou shalt not forswear thyself, but shalt perform unto the Lord thine oaths, he is summarizing basically what the Old Testament said about oath taking. You will notice that the text I've quoted also mentioned vows. And maybe you're asking, is there a difference between an oath and a vow? Well, there is a difference. When you take an oath, you are asking God to be a witness. You're calling upon God to witness. Whereas if you take a vow, you are vowing towards God. You're vowing towards Him. As far as the oath is concerned, you're simply asking God to be a witness and to assess what you say or what you promise to do, whether in actual fact what you say or what you promise to do is actually truthful or not. And you're calling upon God as a witness to this, and you're asking, if it's not true, you're asking God to judge you. That's what an oath is. Whereas a vow to God to do something particular. So there is a difference. And here Jesus is primarily talking about oaths. But what is true about oaths in many occasions is also true about vows. And if we understand what Jesus is trying to impress upon his hearers is that they are to tell the truth at all times. That's what he wants to impress upon them. Thou shalt not forswear. What does forswear mean? Well, it's to lie when you have taken an oath to tell the truth and nothing but the truth and the whole truth. And it's normally associated with a courtroom situation where someone will go to court for whatever reason. He's called upon as a witness and he takes an oath to tell the truth, the whole truth and nothing but the truth. And if you forswear or if you perjure yourself, you take an oath and you don't tell the truth. And that is a terrible sin and crime in the sight of the Lord our God. You may well be asking, why are we even looking at this subject? Is it an important subject? Well, we would have to say yes. It is a very important subject. When the Lord was before Pilate, did he not ask the question, what is truth? And that's a question that many people are asking today, and many people are giving various answers. But friends, we deal with absolute truth here in the Word of God. We have it here. This is truth. Jesus said on another occasion when he was praying for his disciples, sanctify them by the truth. Thy word is truth. And we must again realize the wonderful spiritual privilege that belongs to us. When we come to the house of God, when we bring our Bibles here, when we open up the Word of God, when we read it, we are reading truth, friends. Absolute truth. This is God's Word. And to cast any doubt upon the Word of God is to cast a doubt upon God Himself. And as I tried to say on one occasion in the open air, I do not like, and I'm sure you're exactly the same, you do not like if anyone casts any doubt upon your word. What you say reflects yourself. And if someone casts a doubt upon what you say, they're casting a doubt upon yourself. And what are we? We're merely sinful human beings. Yet we do not like if someone casts a doubt upon our word. What it must be to the living God when people cast a doubt or a slur on His holy word, which is truth. And therefore, this is a vitally important subject that we deal with, because life, in one real sense, would be absolutely impossible if there was no truth. Imagine going anywhere. Imagine going into a shop if there's no truth. If you go and buy something, for instance, and whatever you pay over the counter for the product, if it's not right, that relationship between you and the shopkeeper is not what it should be. And of course, you can go into a multitude of situations. If we don't have truth, if there's not truth between employer and employee, between student and pupil, between minister and congregation, if there's not truth, the world, life cannot really function. And therefore, truth indeed is vitally important. And we have to acknowledge that truth, real truth, is so very difficult to see and find in our ordinary everyday life. Ask yourself this question. Who really believes a politician. Now, you know your minister's not a political animal, and he's not here preaching politics or politicians. You know that well. But who listens to what they write in their manifestos? When you get a politician coming to your door and saying this, do you really believe them? You don't. And that's the way it is with so many individuals and so many things that go on in our lives. For instance, do you believe what you read in your newspapers? Do you believe what is broadcasted on our television sets and radios? Everything we get is filtered. There's not such a thing as absolute truth. When the media report, for instance, the Middle East situation, you have to understand that the editor and the sub-editor and whoever's behind it has filtered that news to you. You may well get some of it, but you don't get it all. And it's tainted with their own personal viewpoint. And of course, that can be applied to a multitude of situations. Certain newspapers, do they not lean towards one political party? Other newspapers lean towards another political party? And they present truth in, or so-called truth, in a different light. Well, the Christian is called to speak the truth in love at all times. And this is really what Jesus is teaching us. And therefore, it's vitally important for us, friends, all of us, to be ones who speak the truth. Well, we want to look then at what the Old Testament actually says about oaths. We have quoted one or two things for you there. And we want to realize that this is connected also with the third commandment, "Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who taketh his name in vain." And those who make oaths or who take a vow and do not intend to fulfill that oath or to fulfill that vow are taking the Lord's name in vain, and they're breaking that commandment. And it also impinges upon the ninth commandment, "Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor." And when it says, "Thou shalt not bear false witness," that's the negative. But the positive is, you shall tell the truth to your neighbor. It's not enough not to lie to your neighbor. You are to tell the truth to your neighbor to actually fulfill that commandment. So, what he's talking here impinges upon these two commandments also. So, first of all then, what does the Bible teach about this subject? About oath-taking and vows. Well, it teaches us that an oath, to take an oath, is actually a very solemn thing, and it's part of religious worship. And that's because when the person takes an oath, and in the same extent a vow, he is calling upon God to witness what is happening. And there are two kinds of oaths. Two kinds. The first kind is where we assert to something. We assert to past or present facts that they are true, or we believe them to be true. So when someone takes an oath, for instance, in court as a witness, that person is saying that a certain thing happened and they know, they saw this happening or they're a witness to it or whatever, and they assert that what they say in the court is true. That's what's called a necessitory oath, where you assert to something and give evidence that you have seen some fact in the past or present. There is another oath, and it's called a promissory oath. That is where you promise to do something. You take an oath and you promise to do it. You swear before God that you will do this particular thing, whatever you have promised to do. And therefore, we must recognize that an oath is a very, very solemn thing, and it's not to be entered into lightly. And you are calling upon the great God of heaven to witness to what you are saying. And not only to witness it, but to follow along with his judgment upon that oath, should you not fulfill it. And an oath is something that's only to be taken in God's name. Only in the name of God. Not in any other person. Not in any creature or any part of creation. It's only to be taken in the name of God. And when you do this, friends, what are you doing? You're recognizing his omniscience. When you're calling upon God, whom you cannot see, yet you're recognizing that he knows all things, and he can judge you whether you're telling the truth or not. And you're recognizing his omnipotence, that the great God of heaven is able to do terrible things and to judge people if they have broken that oath in any way. And you recognize his justice, that God is a God of justice. And although people may break their word or break their oaths easily and think nothing of it, yet they will not escape the justice of God. That's what you recognize. And you must take your oath only in the name of the living God. To do otherwise, friends, is an act of idolatry. And that's why the Bible does not countenance us taking our oaths in any other name. For instance, when an MP is sworn in at the House of Commons, there are various ways that he can be sworn in. And the English version of the oath is this: I, and then you would insert the name of the MP, swear by Almighty God that I will be faithful and bear true allegiance to Her Majesty Queen Elizabeth, her heirs and successors, according to law. So help me God. And we would describe that as a lawful oath taken at a proper solemn occasion. And this is another characteristic of an oath. It's only to be taken on certain occasions. It's not to be taken over light matters. It has to be duly a weighty occasion. And of course, we have many examples in the Bible when Old Testament men and women and New Testament persons, they also took oaths. And therefore, the Bible does authorize us to take oaths on certain occasions. And many of the saints, for instance, Abraham and David and Jonathan, they all took oaths on occasions. God himself, imagine it, God himself, we read it in Hebrews chapter 6. He himself, and it came from Genesis chapter 22. He said, by myself have I sworn, saith the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing, and hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, that in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of heaven, and as the sand which is upon the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies. That's what God said to Abraham. After Abraham was prepared to offer up Isaac as a sacrifice, God swore by himself. Why did he do it? Because God's word is true, of course. Whatever he says is true. But he chose to swear by himself because there was no greater authority than God himself. Therefore, he swore by himself that Abraham might realize that God would make good his word, and that his word is true and it can be trusted. And that's what we read in Hebrews chapter 6. And Christ himself, we maybe not have realized this, but Christ himself took an oath. Or we might more accurately say he was put under oath when he was before the high priest. We are told in Matthew's gospel, Matthew chapter 26, but Jesus held his peace, and the high priest answered and said unto him, I adjure thee by the living God that thou tell us whether thou be the Christ, the Son of God. And Jesus saith unto him, thou hast said. Nevertheless, I say unto you, hereafter shall ye see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power and coming in the clouds of heaven. Now, maybe we just don't fully understand what was happening there, but friends, what happened was when Caiaphas, the high priest, said, I adjure thee, what he was saying is, I'm putting you under oath. That's what he was saying in the language 2,000 years ago, and in the terms of the way these things were conducted 2,000 years ago. Caiaphas put the Lord Jesus Christ under oath, and by his answer, Jesus says, thou hast said, nevertheless, I say unto thee, hereafter ye shall see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power. And what Jesus was saying, I am the Christ, and I swear by God that I am the Christ, the Son of the living God. That's what he said. And he was prepared to be under oath and to take this oath and to answer accordingly under oath. And therefore, we have multiple examples of the Old Testament and of the New Testament of people who have taken oaths. The Apostle Paul also had taken oaths in his time. And therefore, it is lawful. And sadly, we have one, the Apostle Peter, who lied under oath. During his denial of the Lord, again in Matthew's gospel, we have Jesus being confronted with a maid. And again he denied with an oath, I do not know the man. A terrible crime, a terrible sin, to lie under oath. And he goes on, then began he to curse and to swear, saying, I know not the man. And immediately the cock crew. Here was an apostle calling upon God to be a witness to the fact that he had not known the Lord when he had known him fully and intimately for at least 3 years. It is a terrible thing to lie. And it's a terrible thing to lie under oath. And no wonder, friends, if we think of this, no wonder Peter went out and wept bitterly. But do we not see something of the greatness and the glory and the majesty of God, that in Christ Peter repented and was restored after committing such a terrible crime? We could well ask ourselves then, what is the purpose of taking an oath? What is the purpose? Well, the purpose is, friends, to add seriousness and to add veracity to our speech. But very often in today's world, in the modern world that we live in, when people take oaths, it should add seriousness and it should add veracity to what they say. And our ears should in some sense be pricked up when we see someone taking an oath, because we should realize that then they're beginning to tell us the truth. But it's far from it. And very often when they do take oaths, they don't tell the truth as they should. There should be no need for this to be done, because, friends, our word should be our bond. And what we say should be the truth. And we should not need to take oaths. But because we live in a sin-cursed world, and because we're surrounded by lies, and because every single one of us is inclined to lie, we're not as truthful as we should be. Jesus said to the Jews, "Ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it." And as I understand that verse, Jesus is basically saying, when the devil speaks, he speaks lies. Why? Because it's in his nature to lie. There's no truth in him. And friends, we see that all around us. Can we not say with authority that all false religion is full of lies? It's all tainted with lies. Why? Because behind all false religion is the devil. All false religion, not just Islam, but all false religion is satanic at its roots, because it is saturated and permeated with lies. Because that's all the devil can do. He's a liar. And there may be some elements of truth, but they're permeated with lies. So we do have a warrant in the Word of God to take oaths. We shouldn't need to have them, but because we live in this sinful world that's dominated in some sense by lies and by the devil, we need to take these things. And we need to realize, friends, if we do take an oath, that we are bound to perform what we take upon oath. This is vitally important. What we say or what we promise to do, and when we take an oath to that purpose, we are bound to perform what we take upon our lips. We cannot say, "Oh, I didn't realize it was going to cost so much. I didn't realize it was going to take so much time," or whatever. Once we take an oath, we are bound to that. If it's a lawful oath, as long as we're not committing ourselves to do some sinful act, then, friends, we are bound to perform. We are bound to fulfill that oath. We're going to sing it towards the end of our worship. But the psalmist says, talking about the true child of God, talking about that one who will be in glory with the Lord Jesus Christ, he's describing that individual. And here's one mark of him: in whose eyes a vile person is condemned, but he honoreth them that fear the Lord. He that sweareth to his own heart and changeth not. This is the mark of the Christian. His word is his bond, and his word may lead him into trouble. It may lead him into financial difficulties. It may lead him into relationship problems. But whatever, he will not change his word. And of course, we must realize that it must be a lawful thing that he has vowed to do, or a lawful oath. For instance, if we do take an oath to do something sinful, the moment that we realize it is sinful, we have two things that we must do. We must repent of taking that sinful oath, and we must seek forgiveness. And then we must make sure that we do not commit what we wanted to do in a sinful oath, because it's wrong to sin above all things. But if the oath is lawful, if it has been properly carried out, then we are obliged to fulfill it even to our heart. Well, that's basically what the Bible would teach us regarding these things. We want to spend a minute or two now at actually looking as to what the scribes and the Pharisees taught in contrast to what the Bible teaches. And as we said, they were right up to a point. Jesus sums up their teaching, "Thou shalt not forswear thyself, but shalt perform unto the Lord thine oaths." And what they basically said, whatever oaths you have made in the Lord's name, you are to perform them. But here's the caveat, here's the way out. If you have made an oath, not in the Lord's name, but by the earth, or by his footstool, or by Jerusalem, then it doesn't matter about the oaths that you've made in these names. It doesn't matter. If you've taken an oath by the earth, or if you've taken an oath by Jerusalem, by the name of Jerusalem, or if you've taken an oath in another name, another part of creation, that oath doesn't matter. You can break that. And of course, this was their problem. They were taking oaths for silly and light matters, so that their conversation was dominated, their lives were dominated by taking oaths, not in the name of the Lord, but in other things. And this is what Jesus condemns. I'm trying to think of my own experience of what I've heard people say regarding oaths and what they've said to me many years ago. I can't think of too many instances, but I can remember people saying, talking about something, and they would say, "I swear on my mother's grave," or I swear on my deathbed," or whatever. Well, friends, if we know anything of that kind of language, and if we've done these kind of things, we must recognize that we have sinned. This is not right. The Lord Jesus Christ would not have us take an oath using these words and these terms. These are not right. And that's what was happening in the day and generation that Jesus found himself in. Yes, you must honor the oaths that you take in the Lord's name, but by any other name, it doesn't matter. And therefore, it didn't matter. And they broke these oaths willy-nilly, so that no one could really believe a word that they said. That's what they taught. And Jesus says, "No, this is not right. You will not do that." So then, thirdly and finally, we might ask ourselves, what then did Jesus teach? Well, Jesus taught basically what we spoke about when we looked at our first heading about what the Bible taught. Jesus brought them back to the biblical teaching. And here he says, "Neither shalt thou swear," verse 36, "neither shalt thou swear by thy head, because thou canst not make one hair white or black." And then again, there's verse 34, "But I say unto you, swear not at all, neither by heaven, for it is God's throne." And some people, when they look at this verse, verse 34, for instance, where he says, "Swear not at all," they are teaching, or they believe that Jesus taught, that you're not to take oaths at all. That's not what he says. That's not. But what he was correcting was the scribes and the Pharisees' position, where they took all of these oaths in other names other than the Lord's. And he was doing away with that. He was telling them, that's not what you're supposed to do. That's not the way it is to be. And when he says, "Swear not at all," what he really means is that when you swear and when you take an oath, it is to be for a lawful and legitimate thing only, for a serious matter. And our mouths and our conversation are not to be dominated by taking an oath in this name or that name. Rather, We are to do it only on serious occasions. And Jesus would remind them that everything they say is binding. Let your communication, your conversation be yea, yea, nay, nay. For whatsoever is more than these cometh of evil. And what he's doing, friends, is restoring it to its rightful position. So if you are ever called upon as a witness to appear in court, and you are asked to take an oath, that's a lawful oath. And Jesus is not in any sense saying that we should not do that. But we must recognize its seriousness. And above all, we must recognize that even our very daily conversation, as we speak to each other, as we speak in our homes and our families, as we go out to our workplaces, as we encounter any and every individual, let our yes be yes and our no be no. And let the Christian be marked out as someone who is known to tell the truth at all times, however unpleasant it may be, however unpalatable it may be, however unpopular it may make us. We have no license and we have no liberty to do anything else other than tell the truth. And above all, as Paul says in Ephesians, to tell the truth in love. That's what we should aspire to. That should be our aim. That should be our mode. That should be the model before us, to be like the Lord Jesus. And we're told that when he spoke, the common people heard him gladly. And is there not a ring about truth? Do you not know, friends, when you hear someone speaking, when you know they're speaking the truth, is there not a kind of aura? Is there not an authority about them? Is it not true on many occasions you can tell if someone's not really telling the truth? Well, this should mark out the Christian. Let your yea be yea. Let your no be no. And let our lives be dominated by truth. Truth in our conversation. Truth all around us. This is what we long for, and this is what the world needs. And sadly, this is what we do not find in our day and generation. Amen. May God follow with his blessing upon his word. Let us pray together.